Ladies and gentlemen, fighting out of the traditional personal finance corner, he hails from Princeton, New Jersey, USA. He is the Sultan of Saving, the Count of Common Sense. Let's get ready for Practical!
Oh, Practical Guy Podcast. Welcome, everybody. This is Frank. I'm already laughing because I can't wait to hear this story. Hello, listeners. I've heard this story many times. It never gets old, Scott. With me today, of course, Mr. Scott Newman, the Practical Guy himself. Welcome, Scott. We are here again talking about money management for your street and not Wall Street. I want to jump right in. I can't wait. I'm on pins and needles after that intro. I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. I can't wait to hear the story.
And I'm on steroids too.
You look like that shirt, man. You look like it makes you look pumped.
And how many mortgage people or financial or money people are going to tell you that they're proud of getting fired twice in the last year?
Yes, you heard the story about about Scott getting fired for basically telling the truth. I've heard this story maybe 7 times already, and it gets funnier every time you tell it to me. I don't know why. I don't know why I find it so funny.
Yeah, the last week about the woman from Bed Bath, taking everyone else's continuing education. I go to the CEO, and he says, this can't be happening.
Right.
I have proof. I have everything.
Right.
And the people who were doing it, then he basically designates them to fire me.
Right. You call the regulators. They don't call you back.
And it's not the Indian in the littering commercial with the tears running down.
Who actually, I found out, by the way, that he was not an Indian, that guy. He was an Italian actor. I found out some information about that dude. So that Indian crying because you're littering, that was an Italian actor. He was not an Indian. Or Native American,
right.
I say.
So now that we're on the subject of things aren't what they seem to be.
Yes.
Or they're portrayed to be.
You're teasing me.
Right.
So and you're teasing the listener,
so
I dare say. Let's go into it right now. I'm going
to
leave it right to you. You have the floor, my friend.
Okay. Essentially, I was fired from a mortgage company for not producing enough converted loans or doing enough mortgages.
Now, wait a minute. Now, when was this?
This was 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
Yes.
So 60 days ago, you got fired again.
Yes.
This is all in 1 year.
Right.
You got fired again for not meeting a sales quota? Is that what you're saying?
Which, again, in its theory, a lot of people are saying, hey, the company's hiring you to do sales. Okay, like for instance,
you
go out, you're selling chemicals, you're selling shoes,
right?
Sporting goods, candles, and
you're hired to sell a certain amount. And you agreed to do that when you took the job.
I agreed it, and as a matter of fact, 2 months into it, they came to me and they wanted me to do, 4 mortgages a quarter.
Okay.
What I discussed with my manager, I said, I have a real problem doing this in this industry. And the reason being is, when you're doing a mortgage for someone, there's a lot of other variables. Number one, I will not do a mortgage for someone unless they have 6 months or a year's savings in the bank. Okay. Now, why is that? Because I don't want to see that homeowner be upside down. Now, I care.
Well, wouldn't that vary, though? I mean, you're saying 6 months of savings in the bank. Well, what number is that? Does it matter?
Well, that's the threshold. We have people out there that are buying houses, for instance. They'll have $1,000 or $2,000 in the bank.
Okay.
Okay, now, the mortgage company typically doesn't care. They get paid if the loan, if they qualify. There are certain standards.
Gotcha.
So people would say, well, if they qualify, just let them buy. I have all my licenses, mortgage, insurance, and financial planning. I'm an anomaly because you have to understand, at this mortgage company or anything, I was the only person that had their financial planning licenses included, not just the mortgage one.
Really?
So I look at somebody's overall financial picture.
Mm.
So I had told probably 5 or 6 people, you're not ready to buy. You need to go and save before you do that.
Okay.
Now, the mortgage company just wants to close that loan. They don't care.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Okay. Now,
I mean, it makes sense for them as a business. Sure. They want to make money.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, another time, I had a client who was a financial planning client. Okay. Now, you understand, and this is a dirty little secret in the mortgage industry. When someone is, let's say, from the Money Store or Wells Fargo or any of these places, they're licensed. They can only work for one company. So that means whatever rate they get, like up from above or whatever,
right.
The rate's 4.6,
right.
They can't change that or they can't Nobody can shop.
So that is what it is. There's no flexibility.
When you're calling the Wells Fargo guy, it doesn't matter. So it's up to the consumer to shop around.
Interesting. So if I had my license in selling mortgages, mm-hmm. I can only work for one company. It's not like I'm in my own business.
Right.
Really?
So suppose you were working, let's say you were working in the deli.
Okay.
And let's say you were working, whatever, at ShopRite.
Right.
Or someone, and they come up, they say, what's boiled ham? You would say, oh, boiled ham's $22 a pound. Well, that's the rate. You can't deviate from that rate.
Yeah, even though I have my boiled ham preparation license,
right.
I can't tell them, it's this amount, but I can give it to you for this amount.
Now, we obviously know that if somebody walks up and says it's $22 for boiled ham, I mean, I don't know else what it would come with. Okay, you understand?
That's some good ham.
But on a mortgage, a lot of people don't know, we're shopping or doing. I mean, imagine if you priced the loan at 8%, people would think that's crazy.
Right.
But most people, they trust the mortgage person or whatever.
Well, what are you going to do? We don't know.
Right. And when the rate's different by a half a point, let's say, that's tens of thousands of dollars to the mortgage company or even more compensation.
Really?
Yes.
A half a point?
Yes. Here's the thing. I got quoted a rate from my supervisor and said the 30-year mortgage for this couple, 30 and 32, was 4.6%.
Okay.
I just happened to be at a friend of mine who was also a mortgage with a company. I said, what's your rate? And he says, 4.25. So I said, okay. I went back to the manager and I said, he goes, well, we can talk to him about lender credits. Or I'm like,
right.
I'm like, no. What is the rate? It's 4.625.
Okay.
I went to my clients and I said, listen, I'm going to have to tell you something here. You're going to go with another company. And they said, well, we want to use you. I go, you're not going to use me because you know what? I'm not worth the difference between 4.625.
Yeah, because if a half a point is tens of thousands of dollars, how much is 4 points?
Well, it's over them. It's $100,000 over the course of a loan to the individual.
All right, but still.
But I would never do that to someone
right.
to do that. And they said, well, what do you mean? I go, well, I'm not going to be compensated, but I'm not going to be able to, with a file, I'm going to turn you over to this person and you're going to do that loan. And they're like, they were kind of puzzled. And I said, yeah, it is absurd. You have to understand, you're going to go with a place with the best rate
right.
to do this. I have a conscience here.
Sure.
I actually talked to my manager and I said, if our pricing is this rate, I can't deal with this because
yeah.
I'm not going to charge somebody to do that. I'm going to tell you this right now. I am probably the only one who would do this because what had happened was somebody from the company said, well, that was illegal giving that loan away. I said, now you can go with a file. It's not illegal because I took no compensation.
Right.
My compensation on that loan would have been about $3,000.
Okay.
Instead, there's another loan officer from another company who's making that. I gave that up.
Well, because you have integrity.
Right, because no one is doing that. Now, let's also give the mortgage person their due. I do other things. Okay, I have my retirement for the most part put away. I do insurance, financial planning. So I'm willing and I can say, you know what, go take the mortgage somewhere else.
Right.
There's nobody really out there
no.
like this that would do this.
Here's the thing with the practical guy, people. Listen, if you were to line up 1,000 mortgage brokers, 999 of them would not have done what the practical guy did. The one extra one being Scott himself.
Yeah.
You have to understand, a couple sitting down, they're going to buy a house, 4.6% or 4.6.
4.6, yeah.
4.6% of interest. Scott says, hey, 4.2 down the road, go with them.
Mm-hmm.
And took no money for it, because that would be illegal. Yeah, if you took compensation for that.
I took compensation. I wouldn't do that. But you have to understand, this is a couple, and most of the clients, they trust me implicitly. So they would have said, Scott, they would have done the 4.6, and nobody would even known about it.
There wouldn't have been anything wrong with it either.
Right.
I mean, he's doing what he's doing. They accepted the 4.6. Okay, that's good.
Right. So that's about 5 or 6 mortgages that I would have done, but I wouldn't do with this company.
Okay, so now it's making more sense to me. It's not like, you were lazy, you didn't meet your sales quota. You didn't meet your sales quota because it didn't line up with your level of integrity.
Right. Or, honestly. Or with doing. This is why I don't think there should be quotas in this industry.
I agree.
But let's bring another one. This may get a little complex, so Frank, you lead me through, because you have a, what is it, a second grade education?
Hey, well, first of all, that's very insulting. You're lucky I have a thick skin, and because I love you, I'm not offended. Let me see, I got left back in fourth grade. I got left back in the eighth grade. By the time I was a junior in high school, I dropped out. I went to get my GED to get, right. And you have to take classes to get, I would cut those classes.
Right.
And I never spent like 5 minutes in college. Right. All right. However, I'm self-employed. Right. We run a ministry, my wife and I, and we're living a dream.
Right.
It doesn't take education to be successful.
Right.
I know some guys with PhDs, they drive cabs.
I will go with this aside. I've worked with people who have been Harvard business graduates, and the people who run restaurants or didn't get out of the second grade are smarter than that.
There you go.
I agree with you totally here.
Amen.
We're just joking here, but
yeah, I'm not a very decorated, educated guy. No, okay. Not at all.
Are you familiar with the term adjustable rate mortgage?
I am familiar with that term. Yes,
and that is like it's almost an episode of Fear Factor because people say, "Oh my God, this adjustables! That's what ruined everything. Everything like that.
Right.
The whole." Because what it is an adjustable rate mortgage is typically you're locking in a rate for anywhere from 5 to 7 years. You're mm-hmm. locking in that rate.
Yeah.
When that happens, you have to go out and get another loan.
That's right.
And you could get, let's say the rates now are 3.6 or 4.2. They could say it might be 8% by the time you do that. And the reason why these adjustables got a really bad name is a lot of people used it because you have to understand the upfront rate is typical. Let's just say the 30-year fixed is about 4.3. You might be able to do an adjustable at 3.3%.
Okay.
Now, why is that dangerous? Because people then would use that to buy more house. Because the rate's lower, they can do that. Hmm. That is the death knell to do. That's what people use. But let's just say, hypothetically, you do have 3-4 years of savings in the bank.
Okay. Okay.
And you're going to pay 3.3% for 7 years.
Well, let me back up a minute. Let's put a number on it. 3-4 years of savings. Let's equate a number to that. What would you say? Just the argument's sake.
For instance, let's just say to run your house every month, it's $3,000 a month.
Okay, fine.
So let's just say 3 years would be about $108,000 or $110,000.
Okay. $100,000 in the bank.
So you know anything. Let's just say you were out of work for a year. We'd
okay.
be able to pay the mortgage.
Right.
These are people who are secure. There's investment products that if you lock up your money over 7 to 10 years,
yeah.
they've proven to do 5% or 6% or something.
Right, okay.
Nothing is ever guaranteed.
Okay.
But you're then paying money back, you're borrowing money at about 3.3%. And with a tax deduction, it might be about 2.5%.
Gotcha, I gotcha.
So what you're doing is it gives you an opportunity to leverage. It
okay.
gives the little guy a chance to leverage.
It gives him an arm up.
Yeah, because what you're doing is you're paying back the banker at, let's say, 2.5%, and as long as you can keep that money tied up for 7
right.
to 10 years, you might be earning 5, 6, 7%.
Okay.
It's a great deal. Okay, as long as these situations are there.
Yeah, now, as long as they have to exist first.
Right.
Right, okay.
Now, the company that I was working for,
yeah,
their rates on adjustables are not competitive. Like, for instance, I'm not going to get into the complexity, but the way they are, they're... You know, being a direct lender, their rates, like for instance, it's almost similar on the adjustable than it is on the fixed.
Mm.
Now, I ran into 4 or 5 people that I told them adjustable would be the way to go.
Mm.
What did I do? Sent them other places. Because I'm not competitive. I'm holding my one license.
You understand this is not the way to keep a job, right?
No. No. It's not. So I went, so what happened is essentially I got a call from the woman at HR.
Right.
And my daughter was there and she said, Scott, I just want to let you know you didn't reach your quota and we're going to let you go. And I go, I really don't need this job, but do you understand? And I'm trying to explain, it's almost like you're a crazy person. Do you understand why I didn't reach the quota? Is there that? She just wants to get me off the phone.
That's it. It doesn't matter why.
Right.
It doesn't. You didn't reach the quota. Done.
And the quota.
Heartless, cold, unfeeling. These people are trained to not be emotional.
Right. Right. So, but again, I didn't sit there. And then one of the guys I knew was one of the owners of the company. And I asked him to call me. And we talked. And I explained to him. He goes, well, Scott, you are such a Martian or an anomaly
right.
because you have these licenses. I said, okay, but what are we going to do about this?
Right.
I don't really care about getting my job, but are we going to talk about quotas in the industry? We're going to talk about how this has happened. And he said, all right, what's going to happen is here, you're going to meet with the company because they'll have an exit interview process.
Oh, another exit interview. I love that.
And I said, okay, so I'll be going through that with them.
Okay.
Something like that. A week later, nobody gets back to me. I said, the woman said, we don't do exit interviews with employees who are terminated, only people who resign. So we're not interested in having any more conversation.
Well, listen, I'm not defending them.
Right.
But that does make sense. I mean, if they're firing you, right, they don't want you there.
Right.
So they don't need to do an exit interview.
Right.
If you're leaving, okay, maybe I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking their side at all. But I think I do understand their thinking there.
Right. And it's...
like, get out!
It's a corporate thing, and to do that, so I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm sitting here... and now, again, I have my license in another mortgage company. It's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is anybody going to ever take a look at the industry and say, okay, this isn't right the way it is? And it's because, you have to understand, as we talk about, the practical guy is a Martian. Because what happens is I have all my licenses. I do, and this is why it's so important not to go blindly into the mortgage.
Right, exactly.
Because you have to understand, most of the mortgage people, this is no offense, but they're used car salesmen who were able to take a test, and they want to close that loan.
Yeah.
No matter
the
what
ABC
it is,
of selling.
They're never going to sit there and say, it's a quarter of a point different here or doing that.
That's it.
So it's really the burden of the consumer to shop.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is, but mortgages are confusing to a lot of people. They're not going to look around. And,
right.
Is it incumbent on them to do that? And I don't think that's, in those cases are right where, to be honest with you, it's like some of the clients, they trust me implicitly. It's almost a license to steal.
Yeah.
To do this because they don't understand the rates. And to do
right.
this, I'm going to give you one of the other stories. You know, we talk about the dirty little secrets. When I was working at one mortgage company, the 30-year was about 4.25.
Okay.
In the cubicle next to me was a guy who was selling that same loan at 5%. And I said, I looked at him and I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, a guy's got to eat. I'm like, what do you
mean? Meaning him.
Yeah, I got to eat. And I said, how can you sell that to her at that point? Because his commission goes up, the company makes more money, and whose pocket is it coming out of?
Theirs. The girl, the woman.
Now, typically, a loan officer will make 50 basis points or 100 basis points on a loan.
Okay.
So let's say you do a mortgage for $300,000.
Okay.
That loan officer may make $3,000 or $1,500 or $2,000. And they're not easy. It takes a lot to do. But when you're making that amount of money, there's no Cesar Chavez. You're not
paying for it. Right. Exactly right.
So you can make your money honestly by doing it. And this was another time I was going to go to the CEO, but unfortunately, the woman called the next morning and what they call rescinded.
Oh,
she had
really?
Actually shopped.
Well, I guess that guy's not going to eat.
And I said, thank God.
Yeah, really.
And he was all pissed off that this woman had checked.
Oh, well, boo-hoo.
And I'm sitting here, this stuff all goes on. And Frank, it's funny and it's comical to me because I'm in this position.
But not to the people that are dealing with it and don't even know what they're dealing with.
And we're sitting here. It's just so absurd that this is what, you know, goes on. And it's like, because when I do a mortgage for someone, I look at their total financial picture.
Right, the whole picture.
The whole picture. I'm not trying to sell them one thing.
Right.
But mortgage loan officers do. This is why I say the mortgages are the most dangerous portion of the whole financial industry, because for the most part, it's the biggest investment anybody will make.
Yeah, you're right.
And there's basically just salespeople to do that. Most people don't talk to a financial advisor, or let's face it, most people, a lot of the top or bigger financial advisors, unless you have $250,000 in assets, they're not going to talk to you.
Exactly right. That's right. They're not.
So I hope this is making some sense to the public out there.
It's making a lot of sense to me, and I only have a clue about this stuff, but that's making a lot of sense to me. I feel like I just learned something, like I said, this whole mortgage revelation. But here's the thing. You've mentioned something before. You said, you know, is anybody going to take a look at this industry and really, like, you know, just kind of expose what's going on? Yes, the practical guy. That's why we're here. That's the whole point of this podcast. For the most part, I mean, yeah, to educate and entertain you. One of the ways we educate is we show you, hey, this is what's going on. Stuff that you don't even know about. This is what's going on. And what's really cool is we don't have like a sponsor that's paying for the show and then we gotta just say whatever he wants us to say. No. This is the show where you can come find out what's going on in the industry, and you can even call, you can call the Practical Guy at 1-877-451-4141. That's toll free, 877-451-4141. The operators are standing by, in a sense. Or you can also go to the Practical Guy's website, practicalguy.com, practicalguy.com.
I'm sure there's other stories out there, and again, like I said, and I don't mean to demean anyone else, I don't care whether I make a sale. I'm really out to help people and do this, and I like to try to change lives one by one.
Yeah, like this. And it's true, guys, it really is true. All you lovely listeners that we love so much and cherish, we are here to educate you and entertain you. And Scott is here, really. He's really here to help you. Now, I'm just going to throw something out there for the listeners. If you have any questions or comments, or let's say you've used the Practical Guy services before, and you want to say, hey, this is what happened with my experience with the Practical Guy, we encourage you to write in, go to the website, practicalguy.com, click on contact, and leave us a review. Leave us a message. And we'll read your message right here on the podcast. That's right. We will hear you, the listener, on the podcast. I think we're going to do that once a month. Yes. What do you think?
They call that viewer mail, right?
Well,
back in the old days, right? Because
well, back in the old days, actually, the old days was radio. So we don't really have many viewers as we do listeners. Because it is an audio show. But you know, so listener mail.
But Frank, you know what's great about this? We were talking about this. You know, we were talking about the social media and all this new stuff.
Yeah.
What I think the greatest thing about this new media, social media, is that you have a couple of guys here that are talking.
Yeah.
We don't have a sponsor. There's not a lot of cost, and we can get the message out.
Yes. Exactly.
10 years ago, this never would have been possible.
No way. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you could do this.
But I'm talking about this is where you can get some straight stuff, and we want to talk to you about what's happening out there.
Yeah, so once a month we are going to do the listener mail segment. We will go through your questions. We will do a Q&A with you guys. Just start sending in your questions. And also, you know, you can leave reviews on iTunes as well, Stitcher Radio, whatever platform you're currently listening to us on. Probably the most effective way, just go right to the website, practicalguy.com, leave a review there or a question or whatever you want. We'll gather them up and we'll answer them.
I'm hoping the listeners had as much fun today as doing that. How many people can just laugh at getting fired?
Exactly. I'm thinking about the guy in traffic like I used to be. I used to be the guy in traffic listening to talk radio, and it got me through the traffic. I felt like I was hanging out with them. You know what I mean? So here we are in your backseat. Watch that light. Don't pass that light. I guess until now, I'm going to close out. What are we good?
Yeah,
I think we're good. We're good today. Scott is a plethora of financial topics and things to talk about.
Which is nice even with that second grade education. You didn't call it plethora.
No, I did not call it plethora because that would be wrong. Plethora.
Or an abundance of riches.
Until next time. Remember, practicalguy.com. Also, call us over at the toll-free over at 877-451-4141. That's 877-451-4141. Until next week, this is Frank.
The Practical Guy, Scott Newman.
That's right. Talking all about money management for your street.
And not Wall Street.
Let's get ready to practical!
Follow The Practical Guy on Twitter at The Practical Guy. Like The Practical Guy Facebook page. Subscribe to The Practical Guy YouTube channel and visit practicalguy.com. This podcast is a River City eMarketing production, so be sure to also visit rivercityemarketing.com today. The Practical Guy. Money management for your street, not Wall Street.